Denmark Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's putting pressure on law enforcement officials to bring criminal charges against his political opponents. On social media, he criticized Attorney General Pam Bondi for not doing so. Asked later Saturday if he's mad at his Attorney General.
No, I just want people to act. They have to act. And we want to act fast.
And he said he's going to nominate Lindsey Halligan, his former defense attorney, who's never served as a prosecutor, as the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia. Previous prosecutor resigned under White House pressure for not bringing criminal charges against the president's political opponents. Today, President Trump travels to Arizona. He'll speak at the public memorial to Charlie Kirk. More than 70,000 are expected in Glendale, Arizona, where security is tight. Authorities in New Hampshire arrested a 23-year-old in Saturday shooting at a Nashua country club during a wedding that killed one person and injured two others. Authorities are still working on a motive. This is ABC News. Disruptions continue across European air travel because of what authorities say was a cyber attack targeting check-in and boarding systems. It was reported at London Heathrow, Berlin's Brandenburg, and Brussels. Brussels, the most severely affected, with more than 300 flights canceled today. A top representative for the farming industry is calling on President Trump to make a change amid growing concerns about China's retaliatory tariffs.
China is one of the most valuable markets for soybeans, according to Caleb Ragland, president of the American Soybean Association. And he says right now the situation is dire.
Currently, China has zero soybeans on the books for this crop that is being harvested now. And that is alarming for our industry.
He's calling on President Trump to end the trade standoff with China, telling ABC News they're currently at a more than 20% pricing disadvantage to their counterparts in South America. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Hermans.
When we moved here, yeah. I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence.
Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. Parents in Wisconsin are more stressed than ever, and one in four say they don't get the social and emotional support they need. That's according to a UW-Milwaukee report. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
Professor Liz Sharda with Hope College says parenting stress represents a mismatch between demands and available resources exacerbated by self-reliant nuclear family models.
So this expectation that we have to do it all, that we have to be everything for our children and for our family system. And those expectations are kind of operating in a context of a real decrease in social connection and increase in loneliness.
Sharda says moving back to a society that embraces collective care could help to ease the burden on parents. That includes building support networks before they're urgently needed and shifting expectations about parenting to ensure both caregivers and children are getting the support they need. Collective care is grounded in interdependence and belonging and involves seeing others' well-being as a shared responsibility rather than an individual burden. This can range from formal arrangements such as co-housing communities to informal neighborhoods relationships. Sharda says families with stronger connections to others demonstrate greater resilience in handling both daily stress and crises. She emphasizes the value of having multiple people committed to a child's well-being, offering diverse strengths beyond what individual parents can provide. Sharda stresses that this parenting epidemic needs macro-level solutions.
We also need systemic and structural changes too. We need support for policies that make connection possible. So it's not just an individual problem or a family level problem, but a societal problem too.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds out there on this Sunday and south winds. Some thunderstorm chances in the afternoon. Highs will warm into the mid-70s. Tonight, showers and storms will wind down. Mostly cloudy skies. Lows in the upper 50s. Rain returns Monday. Currently 62 degrees.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I'll be joined in studio by singer-songwriter Eric Jelen and UW Cinematheque's Jim Healy, and I talk about Robert Redford. Let's light it up state capitol style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. 97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I think movement is really important. I mean, just the more we can be on the move and keep our minds and bodies engaged, even if it's small, you don't have to run. If you can go out for a walk or whatever, any kind of movement is, I think, is good for us.
Activity and movement. It's self-care month and perfect timing as we move into fall. Learn how one local man may be a great example for all of us in this new issue of New Wisco Weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Our cover story features the moving combination, using a special birthday as a reason to get active in creating cancer awareness. Terry Barr has it coming up for us in about 30 minutes. And tis the season. No, I'm not talking about Christmas. Amanda Nimmer explores the war being fought in coffee houses, grocery stores, and bakeries across our area and around the country, too. Call it a friendly fall spice argument, if you will. It's a fun Amanda rant you won't want to miss. September is also designated as the month to highlight an awareness and importance around September is also designated as the month to highlight the awareness and importance surrounding neonative intensive care units, or NICUs, and we have a very special story for you today. It's about a program to support the nurses who care for the most vulnerable patients in a hospital, and why it's working. Plus, Pete Schwabba has his classic cinema pick of the week, honoring a great actor who we lost this week. In just a bit, we're going to go to Wausau and look at National Energy Week. And later, how a Wisconsin musician keeps finding new inspiration thanks to the unique stories of our state. First, we're opening up this edition of New Wisco Weekend with a very strenuous sport. Many of us call it putt-putt. Yep. Sunday, September 21st, is World Miniature Golf Day. It's a fun way to spend an afternoon with family and friends, with the first small course opening in the state about 90 years ago. But along with the outside game, there's a bright, colorful, glowing indoor golf park in Oshkosh. And I got to play.
Oh, stop!
Wow. At least I don't lose a stroke on that.
No, you don't lose a stroke, but it gets you closer.
I am closer. Hole in one for you.
That's the sound of a hole in one. Tucked into a shopping center in Oshkosh is a vibrant, hidden gem of fun and entertainment. Surrounded by a movie theater, restaurants, and a garden center is Glow in the Park, an indoor miniature golf course and pinball arcade.
Mini golf is like, it's kind of a universal thing, right? So anybody can play it. Everybody pretty much knows the gist of it, right? But when you go to these different places, 90% of the time they're going to be different and unique to where it's not the same repetitive thing. A lot of these courses that you go to, it's unique, right? It's like a piece of art, so you won't get to really experience that anywhere else. And that's why, like at our course, our indoor course, that one of the things, I didn't want to do the same thing over and over. And it is different. It can be challenging to some, but a lot of people like that.
That's Joshua Holt, owner of Glow in the Park, which features 18 holes of mini golf spread through 5 themed rooms. All of the holes were designed, built, and painted by local artists.
all of the walls, literally all of the walls from top to bottom in the course are done from floor to ceiling black light paint by local artists, which is really cool too. So they spent weeks nonstop, like 8 to 12 hour days, just doing all these beautiful murals.
Those murals and designs make Glow in the Park shine. But about a year and a half ago, Holt says he wanted to add a little something extra to the business. His solution? Pinball.
We have 24 modern pinball machines. Pinball's kind of making a comeback. So along with the 18 holes, we have 24 pinball machines as well.
Now Glow in the Park is the fifth largest pinball arcade in the state. Glow in the Park is open from 2 till 9 Monday through Thursdays, 10 till 10 on Friday and Saturday, and 10 till 8 on Sunday. Reservations are highly encouraged on the weekends and can be made online. It costs $12 to play 18 holes of mini golf, and each pinball machine is $1 to play. September 21st is World Miniature Golf Day, so if you want to celebrate this weekend, check out your local mini golf courses with your friends and family. Play a round or two. Better yet, organize a mini golf crawl and visit several courses. Oh, and for full disclosure, when I played a round of 18 holes, I came in 16 over par.
And you made it.
Finally. So suffice it to say, more practice and play is needed. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. September is NICU Awareness Month. The most fragile of newborns are placed in the Neonatal Intensive Care Unit, or NICU. This month honors those tiny patients, their families, and the healthcare providers who care for them. Today on New Wisco Weekend, we have a story for you from Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson on NICU nurses and programs to benefit them.
A new program is helping support the people who care for some of our most vulnerable. Healthcare workers are increasingly burnt out, especially after the pandemic started. Data from the CDC shows nearly half of all healthcare workers are feeling burnout, and that number has risen by at least 14% since 2018. The National Academy of Medicine says it's a crisis. In the NICU, there are special challenges as doctors, nurses, and support staff take care of our tiniest citizens. Grace Long is a registered nurse in the NICU at American Family Children's Hospital.
I've been at UW Health in the NICU for a little over 6 years now. I started out as a new grad and I have just loved it so much. I can't imagine doing anything else.
As much as she loves the work, she's felt that burnout firsthand.
As a level 4 NICU, we see the sickest of the sick, right? We see, you know, babies and families on their very worst days. We see these incredibly complex diagnoses that sometimes we've never seen before. So we're trying to, you know, learn about a new diagnosis in addition to taking care of a baby who really needs our help. And so it can be really, really challenging and overwhelming.
The nursing leaders at American Family Children's NICU talked to new nurses to ask what kind of support they needed. And they ended up creating a new program where new nurses are all given mentors. Plus, all nurses get to work 2 virtual shifts per week now, where they can provide support, talking to families, consulting with a nurse who has questions, or helping with one of the biggest time sucks of patient care, all the documentation.
So the nurse will pull us up on the iPad and hand us to the family. So we're able to ask the family the admission questions that are so important that we answer. Or they can pull us up and kind of put us at the head of the bed and just holler out vital signs for us to document, or holler out if there's any like skin integrity issues for us to document, things like that. So we're able to kind of take those things off the plate that could be kind of the more, I don't want to say tedious parts of nursing, but just time consuming.
Before starting this program, there was a 38% turnover rate for new nurses in their NICU. And in the first year, they had no turnover at all.
It takes a lot of time and resources to train a new nurse. And so it's really great when we can keep them on and keep them passionate about things and keep them feeling safe. You know, I think that's ultimately the most important thing that anybody wants to provide, right, is the ultimate safe patient care. And so having as many eyes on the patient situation as possible to make sure that we can provide that safe patient care is just so rewarding. And it's been really rewarding to be able to teach new nurses and to be able to help them.
Other organizations could even follow American Family Children's lead. The NICU nurses recently presented the new program at a national conference. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
In keeping with our fall theme this week on New Wisco Weekend, we're looking at changing leaves, beautiful colors, and of course, pumpkin spice. Our commentator, Amanda Nimmer, takes a look at a feud in the fall spice world.
That's right. You heard it. A leaf just hit the ground. The colors are changing from green to lighter to yellow to red, and then they fall to the ground dead. Fall is officially here as of Sunday. Summer is over. And with that comes the horde, the long-running war of pumpkin spice versus apple. This feud has been going on for such a long time. It's almost felt like eons. Realistically, probably only like the past 20 years, but nonetheless, it exists and it's so prevalent in society the second those leaves trickle to the ground. So let's go ahead and dissect this a bit. Which is the superior fall flavor? And quite frankly, what's even the difference? Let's start there. What is the difference between pumpkin spice and apple spice? Well, if you buy them, because you can buy little pre-mixed seasonings of apple pie spice and pumpkin pie spice, you'll notice that there's only two ingredient differences. See, they both have ground cinnamon, just varying amounts, barely. They both have ground nutmeg, ground allspice, and ground ginger. So what is the different ingredient besides the obvious being apple versus pumpkin? Well, apple pie spice has cardamom and pumpkin pie spice has cloves. Is that what does it? Or is it simply boiled down to just an apple versus a pumpkin? And potentially that may just be the case. See, when fall does appear, everyone goes to the apple orchards or the pumpkin patches. I mean, just look at Instagram. Everyone's already doing it. So both items are already readily available, ready to be picked by flavor-seeking patrons. And yet, despite the fact that they are both readily available, the war exists. What is the difference between an apple and a pumpkin? Well, I think during my research and my own thought process during the past couple minutes here, it all boils down to the exclusivity of pumpkin. Here's the thing. Apples, year-round. You can get them basically all the time. I'm telling you, my kids eat more apples than I'm sure a tree can produce. Not to mention all the apple juice that they're drinking. And that is a year-round thing. That is always there. Apple fritters you can get all the time. But pumpkin, let's lean back. Pumpkin, you really only see that during the fall season. The gourds, the squashes. When you think of pumpkin pie, what holiday comes to mind? Boom, Thanksgiving. Or Christmas, if you're those type of people, but mostly Thanksgiving, which is a fall holiday. So is it because pumpkins aren't as readily available year-round that everyone flocks to it? Or does it boil down to flavor? Pumpkin spice latte is like the most popular fall drink. And yes, you can get apple-themed drinks. I mean, if you go to a coffee place, normally they have like an apple brown sugar latte option. And let me tell you, with some chai tea, that stuff is amazing. Delicious. Tastes like a candle in my mouth. And this is why I'm not in sales. So again, the options are there, but yet pumpkin spice is number one. Number one. So does this mean that pumpkin is the absolute winner? No, there are no winners in this. It's all about preference, because let me tell you, sometimes I crave myself a really good apple cider, but then other times I'm like, well, I could heat up some apple juice at home. I know it's not the same thing, extreme apple lovers. I know it's not, but if you go to certain coffee shops, that's what they do. I'm not lying. And then sometimes you're like, you know what? I would like some pumpkin-y goodness. Give me that Thanksgiving cozy feeling. And then there's apple pie, and there's apple fritters, and there's pumpkin fritters, and there's pumpkin bread, and there's apple bread, and then zucchini bread. Whoa, how did we get zucchini in here? Point being, fall is here. The war will continuously wage on for years to come. But the one thing that we can all 100% agree on is that Christmas needs to back off. It is not your time. Wait your turn. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
During this self-care month, Terry Barr has our cover story, sharing one man's reason for new running goals and why you might want to join him. First, September's also known as Sleep-tember. If you aren't getting enough sleep, you're not alone. The Centers for Disease Control reports 1 in 3 of us are greatly deprived of our Z's. Officials are now suggesting that turning off your phones, iPads, televisions, you know the drill, at least 30 or more minutes before you usually would, can help you get to sleep faster. This is New Wisco Weekend.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info at WGBW.fm, bringing you local news and timeless hits while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for joining us for New Wisco Weekend on your local Civic Media radio stations, WGBW in Green Bay and WISS in Oshkosh and Appleton. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, we've got Brittany Merlot explaining fall, but right now, here's Pete Schwab's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwab's classic movie pick of the week.
This week's classic honors a screen legend who passed away earlier this week. Robert Redford did not waste a single year during his long life, which saw him turn out hit movies in front of the camera and behind. My personal favorite is The Sting. This absolute classic from 1973 features some of the best actors from the 1970s, one of the best directors from the 70s, and some of the most iconic music of all time. The Sting takes us back to 1936 and introduces us to a subculture of grifters. The story starts in Joliet, Illinois, where the up-and-coming Johnny Hooker, played by Redford, pulls a con with legendary Luther Coleman, played by Robert Earl Jones. As it turns out, the man they robbed was a bagman for Doyle Lonigan, a ruthless New York mobster. When Luther turns up dead, Johnny lays low and heads to the south side of Chicago, where he is taken under the wing of the legendary con man Henry Gondorf, played by Paul Newman. Together with a team of grifters, they join forces to avenge the death of their friend Luther. The plan? Get on a train from New York to Chicago and into a card game where Doyle Lonigan is a regular. Take all his money and get under his skin, which is exactly what Gondorf does beautifully.
Carl. Jack's on top.
Beats me.
3 tens.
Tough luck, Ron Ann. But that's what you get for playing with your head up your ass. A couple more like that, we can all go to bed early.
Name's Lonigan. Doyle
Monaghan. You're going to remember that, Mr. Shaw. You're going to get yourself another game. You follow?
Then you get Robert Redford to pose as Gondorf's right-hand man and cozy up to the big gangster and convince him he can get revenge, knowing that Lonergan craves it.
Why the rat? I want to take over his operation, and I need you to help me break him.
Newman and Redford and their fellow grifters set up a horse racing wire and make the place look legitimate in an effort to get the mafia boss to put down a sure bet. The Sting is directed by George Roy Hill, who also directed Newman and Redford in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and the hockey cult classic Slapshot, which also starred Paul Newman. Hill was a big fan of ragtime legend Scott Joplin and thought the music would work perfectly with the picture. Much of Joplin's music is used throughout the film to capture the exact right moment, whether they are humorous, melancholy, or just there to keep the pacing. The success of The Sting was responsible for bringing Scott Joplin's music into the mainstream decades after his death in 1917. Some fun facts: actor Robert Shaw inadvertently became a method actor. Doyle Lonergan limps throughout the film, but that was not written into the script, even though it gave him a menacing gait. Shaw actually hurt his leg playing handball a week before filming, so the limp is real. The Sting was nominated for 10 Oscars and won 7, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Screenplay, and Best Editing. Robert Redford was nominated for a Best Actor Oscar, the only acting nomination of his long career. His two Oscars came for directing 1983's Ordinary People, and he received an honorary Oscar in 2002 for acting, directing, and producing. Great acting, iconic music, stylistic costume designs, excellent directing, and a fantastic underdog story make The Sting about as close to a perfect movie as there is. Robert Redford passed away earlier this week at the age of 89, and Newman in 2008 at the age of 83. Newman and Redford are known for their philanthropic efforts and decency off-screen. They were as good at being human beings as they were movie stars, and they were great movie stars. The Sting is this week's classic movie pick. For more showbiz fun and entertainment talk, tune in to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This weekend's the last weekend of summer. Fall is the favorite season for many as the leaves change and paint the landscape. New Wisco Weekend's meteorologist Brittany Merlot breaks down the science behind it.
Fall of temps, leaves, and sunlight. On Monday, the seasons officially shift. It's called the autumnal equinox, where the earth is perfectly tilted to give us equal hours of daylight and darkness. I'm sure you've noticed it's darker for longer in the morning now, and the sun is setting earlier too. Shorter days happen fast. In just the month of September, we lose almost an hour and a half of daylight, which is exactly why the leaves start to change colors now. Trees are sensitive to changes in their environment, and the sunlight triggers trees to produce chlorophyll in their leaves. This is how it makes energy and why the leaves turn green, a process called photosynthesis. So in summer, we simply have more hours of sun available. Now that's being pulled away, just like our moods may be falling with less light. Foliage does too. But before that, popping vibrant reds, oranges, and yellows, no wonder people color chase to our Northwoods.
Everything in this world is made up of matter, and those matters behave with each other in certain ways. And that, students, is chemistry.
To get a red leaf, it's usually on maples or oaks, which have anthocyanins turning them that color. And that's also found in blueberries and cranberries, which is why they're colored that way. Carotenoids flare the orange, just like a carrot. And xanthophylls bring the yellow leaves, which you see in aspen and poplar trees and also found in things like corn and papayas. And as the veins from the leaf start to close off for the winter, the juice retreats into the branch and shuts the door, covering our forests and landscapes, which leaves on the ground is actually beneficial for keeping the soil filled with nutrients as they decompose. And we sure know that here in Wisconsin, high winds blowing and heavy rain can easily knock them off faster. The type of weather in fall plays a huge part of the color change and time frame. The National Weather Service says a drought or an early frost could make the leaves fall off the trees before they've even had time to change color. Thankfully, the state is currently not in a drought, and above average high temperatures have snuck in recently, which we should expect the most stunning leaf displays because a period of warm days filled with plenty of sunshine and cool nights makes those veins in the leaves narrow and trap the sugars. And that's the color, remember? Now, for meteorologists, the autumn season actually started on Labor Day, September 1st, because it's easier for us to keep track of records and changes on a 3-month basis, rather than on the Earth's axis that wobbles some. Now, if you noticed, if you went up north, this is exactly when some of the leaves started to change colors. Peak is expected the second week of October up north, with central Wisconsin to follow, and southern parts of the state closing out the month splashed in nature's beauty. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story. Can one man's special birthday inspire the rest of us to consider running for your life? We'll be right back.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's putting pressure on law enforcement officials to bring criminal charges against his political opponents. On social media, he criticized Attorney General Pam Bondi for not doing so. Asked later Saturday if he's mad at his Attorney General.
No, I just want people to act. They have to act. And we want to act fast.
And he said he's going to nominate Lindsey Halligan, his former defense attorney, who's never served as a prosecutor, as the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia. Previous prosecutor resigned under White House pressure for not bringing criminal charges against the president's political opponents. Today, President Trump travels to Arizona. He'll speak at the public memorial to Charlie Kirk. More than 70,000 are expected in Glendale, Arizona, where security is tight. Authorities in New Hampshire arrested a 23-year-old in Saturday shooting at a Nashua country club during a wedding that killed one person and injured two others. Authorities are still working on a motive. This is ABC News.
A busy sports weekend. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports reporting from Cleveland, where it's the Packers against the Browns. We'll have a full recap of the game coming up later tonight. In St. Louis, another dramatic win for the Brewers. They beat the Cardinals 3-2 in 10 innings. Bryce Turang, the hero in this one, driving in the winning run. Brewers catcher William Contreras had to leave the game after getting his hand hit by a bat while behind the plate. X-rays were taken. Manager Pat Murphy.
I was in my office already wanting to play tomorrow.
X-ray?
Yeah. X-ray was negative.
College football, the Badgers upset at their Big Ten home opener yesterday, 27-10 to Maryland. It got so bad, fans in Madison were booing head coach Luke Fickell, chanting "Fire Fickell."
Yeah, I feel what they, you know, I feel what their pain is, you know, but there's nothing that we can do other than keep grinding, keep working. We have to play better.
That's Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Legendary director Martin Scorsese is 82 years old, but showing no signs of slowing down. Variety reports that the Oscar winner will direct an adaptation of What Happens at Night, a ghost story novel written by Peter Cameron that came out in 2023. The story follows an American couple who goes to a snowy, cold European city to adopt a child. The film has a couple of A-listers attached already in Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. Apple Films will oversee production. Actress Anne Hathaway had some choice words for the press, more specifically, the pop paparazzi. While filming The Devil Wears Prada 2 in New York City recently, the press got a little too aggressive for her liking. The Les Mis star told the Vultures to relax and back off because there were children on the set. Hathaway and Meryl Streep are both back for the sequel. The much-anticipated follow-up to The Devil Wears Prada hits theaters May 1st of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds out there on this Sunday and south winds. Some thunderstorm chances in the afternoon. Highs will warm into the mid-70s. Tonight, showers and storms will wind down. Mostly cloudy skies, lows in the upper 50s. Rain returns Monday. Currently 62 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
My problem is I don't ever eat fish fries, so when I do it, I overdo it. I ordered a large perch, ate everything on my plate, and I felt like I wanted to die. And now I don't want to eat fish again, maybe ever.
I know it's a staple to get breaded fish, but if you don't get the bread on it, you know, you can kind of get away with eating more.
I'm not trying to gain weight for football here. I'm like, I just want to have a nice meal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. If you love Just a Bit Outside, the film about the Brewers, you're going to love the new film about Wisconsin sports from Sean Hamish and Paul Jaconi Berry. They're here next time with their exclusive announcement. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for joining us for New Wisco Weekend on WGBW and WISS. I'm your host, Lisa Hale. Let's open up this week's cover story by starting with a question. How would you celebrate a special birthday? One man set a goal to compete in and complete 7 5K runs across Wisconsin this year. And it isn't just in recognition of turning 70 years old. It's also in honor of surviving cancer. Gary Albrecht has already checked off races in several communities, including Green Bay, and he's training for the Badger Challenge in Madison this weekend. Terry Barr catches up with the former educator, who was also her high school band instructor. She calls this the perfect time to learn what it means to acknowledge these types of milestones in your life.
When you're out there in these races, there's very few people who are over 70. Very thankful. You know, before each race, it's really reflection time of to say, you know, this is really great, I can do this. So I thought with 70, that would be that mark to me is a real benchmark.
How did you settle on running as a way to celebrate your 70th year?
I was in high school, I was on the cross country team for 3 years and the track team, you know, so we're talking like a long time ago, over 50 years ago. Scary. And then as a young adult, I also did some running and tennis playing, and I was always kind of, I wasn't a great athlete, but I was always interested in working out and, you know, doing things like tennis and some individual running. I started running again when I was in my early 30s. Actually, I ran a marathon in Duluth when I was 35. And I had to train really hard for that. I mean, that was a real undertaking, a great experience. Right after that, I had a pretty serious illness. I had a couple pretty serious illnesses. I didn't run again until 9 or 10 years ago when our son, Matt, said, well, let's go down and do a Disney run, a 5K. And so I did a little bit of training for that. And then over the last 9 or 10 years, you know, I've been hooked on that, on doing 5Ks. So that's kind of how I came back to it.
Why specifically this year in particular have you decided to kind of use your running as a way to create awareness around cancer and the research needed to, you know, try to eradicate cancer?
Well, we've had three members of our family that have been involved in UW Hospital for cancer and a couple other diseases that we've dealt with just as age has, you know, taken its role on us as we've gone on here. But as I looked at age 70, I mean, it's when you're out there in these races, there's very few people who are over 70. But I thought maybe I can do seven of these. We all have friends, family, who have left us or who have fought that battle through cancer. And I think it's just a great message to send out there that we need to fight back, we need to live on, and we need to do for others what we can.
You mentioned yourself having cancer, and I know your wife did as well. How are you both doing now?
Great. I had cancer back in 2008, you know, and it was relatively, I don't want to say easy, but looking back on it, I mean, I came through it really well. And then my wife had three different cancers right during the pandemic, which was really very challenging as well, because like for her, she had two surgeries and then she had chemo. And during that time, I couldn't go into the clinic with her, of course. You know, so I'd have to drop her off in the morning, pick her up and so forth. So that was like really challenging, but she's doing exceptionally well. And then after that, she had two lung cancer surgeries, but she's, you can't keep up with her. So it's a good thing. And I think with both of us, you know, if there's a message I would try to give to young people, to everybody actually, is to, I think movement is really important. I mean, just the more we can be on the move and keep our minds and bodies engaged, even if it's small, you don't have to run. If you can go out for a walk or whatever, any kind of movement is, I think, is good for us.
Well, you're living proof right now, that's for sure. Yes. I am talking with Gary Albrecht, and I think he's going to be inspiring more of us to get moving with his story to run 7 5Ks in his 70th year, which is this year. How are you doing? What number of a 5K are you on at this point?
Well, in preparing for this, I looked at it, and through this season, I'll call it, like through October, I should have my 7 in. I will have 26 in since I started back in 2016. And when I started out, I was just doing the one at Disney for 2 or 3 years, and then I struck on another one and another one. And I'll have 26 in by the end of this year.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is so amazing. How do you feel when you're out there running? Are you thinking about what you've gone through? Are you thinking about the research? Are you just kind of enjoying the moment?
Well, you know, at the place I'm in, actually, it's a great question, because I had a really good cross country coach my last year of high school, and he taught us different technique things as far as running that, you know, I hadn't thought about before. And so I have to concentrate a lot on technique, like on my stride and how fast I start out and what my pace is and all kinds of things. If I start getting the ache or pain in my knee, what does that do to? Is it the pavement not being level? Is it my shoes? Is it my stride? Different techniques, like there's one called aiming high, like making sure that you look far enough in the distance that you're not just looking down. And of course, the older you get, the more pronounced it is as far as not being able to take as large a strides. And it just makes everything more difficult. Warming up, it takes me a longer. When I used to just get out there and run, I mean, it wasn't a problem at all until I was 50 years old, you know. Now I have to make sure I'm stretching and make sure, you know, I'm feeling good before I get out there. I guess when you talk about reflection, I think more of that happens on race day. Those are some really good experiences because you're with crowds of people, you know. I like talking to some of the young kids that are there with their parents, you know, the 8, 10-year-olds, and ask them if they've run before. It's just a real good exercise. It's almost like a community. It's kind of strange, but you kind of move through this race with a group of people, and you see them, and then you might see them at the finish line or whatever. And so it's just a great experience doing that with people.
Well, knowing this is a special year for you and the goal that you set, when you cross that finish line, what does that feel like?
I guess, there's a real feeling of accomplishment, and you get the runner's high, you know, from if you ever read about running, you can hear where you get into it. And other exercises are like that too, where you actually get this euphoric sense. And that usually kicks in for me really strong, like the last half mile, you know? I mean, up until then, I'm trying to make it to the last half mile, right? But when you get to that last half mile, you know it's within range, you know? And then it's fun because you can actually start cheering on some of the people around you, you know, to finish, kids and some of them.
Why did you decide you wanted to share this story with everyone?
Well, I think this is something that's, well, I know it's something that's a lot bigger than myself. And so it's kind of like my musical background, and I know, of course, you have a musical background, but when you perform, you're not just doing that for yourself, but you're doing it for the other performers, you're doing it for the audience. And so in this case too, I see this as something that's much larger than I am, and I'm going to have a little bit of an effect, but if there's a lot of people doing that, if there's thousands and millions of people doing that, it all adds up. And so it's a case where it's a very unique time for me. I mean, I feel so grateful that I can even do this, you know? So I'm thinking, if I can do this, how can I leverage it a little bit to encourage somebody else, you know, to get out there and either run or try to take care of themselves or fight through cancer or donate or whatever that is. Anything they can do to help this cause for themselves as an individual, people around them, their family, and everybody else. And I want to get these finished before the snow flies.
Yeah. On that note, I am just going to end this by saying thank you. Again, I've been talking with Gary Albrecht, celebrating his 70th year, and he's running 7 5Ks to support cancer research. Thank you and congratulations.
Thank you very much, Terry. Appreciate it.
By the way, it is also Prostate Health Awareness Month in September. And as a survivor of prostate cancer, Albrecht says every step feels like a stride of gratitude and hope in now helping others in their own fights against cancer. You know, this issue of New Wisco Weekend is all about self-care, but I want to change directions just a bit and take us to Wausau. Let's talk about energy. Governor Tony Evers kicked off National Clean Energy Week, which was this week, with a visit to a Wausau brewery. Civic Media's Isabella Nieto reports.
This week is the 7th annual National Clean Energy Week in Wisconsin. In 2019, Governor Tony Evers penned a proclamation outlining a clean energy goal for Wisconsin. It aims to make statewide energy consumption 100% carbon-free by 2050. Evers kicked off National Clean Energy Week on Monday at a downtown Wausau restaurant. Evers toured the basement and brewing area at the Red Eye Brewing Company. The restaurant features a wood-burning oven and is the first brewery in the state to use a solar thermal hot water system. Owners Brett Danke and Kevin Eichelberger showed Evers how solar panels heat the water used to make their small-batch beer. The governor said his visit was to thank the owners for being sustainably conscious.
They're doing everything they can to keep costs down and also be good to the environment.
And added he's pleased to see their success.
The interesting thing for me is that they've been doing it for a long time. When they first, from the day they opened the door here, they've been doing things around, you know, making sure that their energy is cheaper and more appropriately solar.
The visit comes as two Republican state legislators announced a proposal this week that would allow community solar programs in Wisconsin.
State Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point and Representative Scott Krug of Rome introduced the bill to tackle rising utility bills.
Under the legislation, electric customers could subscribe to a community solar facility and receive credits on their electricity bill for using renewable energy. Evers says increasing access to solar power options could be beneficial for Wisconsin, but he doesn't know if he'll sign the bill until it reaches his desk. I'm Isabella Nieto.
Is Self-Care Awareness Month. We mentioned this earlier, but what exactly is self-care? So self-care is engaging in activities that nurture your mind, your body, and your spirit. Basically, if it fills your cup with joy or relaxation or energizes you, it's self-care. Self-care aids in stress reduction. It leads to increased productivity and improved mood. Experts say self-care is essential to maintaining a balanced and fulfilling life. Some self-care activities can include things like regular exercise, healthy eating habits, prioritizing rest, spending time in nature, and participating in your favorite hobbies. As my grandmother used to say, you can't take care of anyone else if you don't take care of yourself. This is New Wisco Weekend.
It's time for Eye on the Community on WGBW, sponsored by Insight Eye Care, serving the Fox Valley since 1972 with comprehensive eye care services. Find them on North Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Their goal is to improve lives by improving sight with quality eye care for everyone in your family. Insight Eye Care. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam today. Now, here's what's happening in our area. Women Who Run With Scissors was formed in 1997 by art quilters in the Green Bay area. Today, membership expands throughout Northeast Wisconsin. Women Who Run With Scissors, Materialized Again, opens September 13th at the Neville Public Museum. The largest craft beverage sampling event returns to the Resch Expo October 4th, Festival Foods Craftoberfest. Guests will receive a sampling glass and unlimited tastes of hundreds of craft beverages, including beer, wine, spirits, and more. This has been your Eye on the Community, brought to you by Insight Eye Care. If it's happening in the Green Bay area, it's on WGBW.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Make every day extraordinary with something special from Wisconsin. From artisan cheeses to fresh produce to maple syrup, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Something Special from Wisconsin program is proud to work with member businesses that certify their Wisconsin-made and processed products. Look for the red and yellow sticker and visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to find member businesses and products made with care, quality, and love. Sponsored by Wisconsin DATCP.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Hermans. When we moved here, yeah. I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. Yeah. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence. Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. We love wrapping up the show with a musical guest, and this week is no different. Trapper Shep appeared on Civic Media's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, and here's a little bit of that interview and a couple of his songs.
Let's start with your new album, Osborne. It was just released a couple months ago. I love the story behind the album. Can you give us a little background?
So I was in a rehab facility in Minnesota, and I was in the Osborne unit. And lo and behold, Ozzy Osbourne had attended that same rehab facility. So I wrote some songs when I was in there, kind of reflecting on the raw state I was in at the moment. And some of the songs were born out of the Osborne unit.
The song we're going to hear in a couple minutes is called Loaded, and it's a great song. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind that, even though you kind of just alluded to it a little bit.
I think in my 20s, I struggled a bit as a result of having spinal surgery. I got, you know, pretty dependent or addicted, as they say, on these meds. I kind of just looked at these medicines in the pill bottles, and I kind of joked in my head that they were like kind of loaded guns in a way. And I kind of thought of the prescriptions that way much later.
Well, without further ado, let's hear. This is off the album Osborne, Trapper Shep's latest work, and it's called Loaded, and it is a great song.
You ain't gave me nothing, but I loaded.
That was Loaded, a great song by my current guest, Mr. Trapper Shep, a Milwaukee-based singer-songwriter. I'm sure most of the people know the story behind this and how you kind of found this song and finished it, but it was a song written by Bob Dylan, but not quite finished, like 50 years ago. Can you tell us a little bit about that process, how you found the song, and what made you want to finish it?
Well, you know, Bob Dylan is one of my childhood heroes, for one. He's sort of invented what I do, in a sense. And in 1960, on the day he was recording his first album, he wrote a song just called Wisconsin. And it was like four verses. And it did not make the cut on that first album. 57 years later, I was scrolling through the internet.
Wow.
And his old roommate had posted just a sheet of lyrics as like a relic, you know, a novelty item for auction, $30,000. And I thought, well, it's sort of in the tradition of folk music to sort of pick up where one generation has left off. So I took it upon myself, without his permission, to finished the song, so I set it to music. We added a chorus. We put it out there on the internet, and eventually Rolling Stone took notice, and Billboard took notice. You eventually took notice, and Bob Dylan's lawyers took notice, too. And it was good, though. They said, how would you feel about, you know, publishing this song with Bob Dylan for the very first time? And I said, I feel really good about that.
Yeah, Wisconsin is a dairy state, guess you all know it well. I was in Wauwatosa, the truth I will tell. It's a milk and cheese and cream, yes, I've known it all my days. And I'm going back to my hometown, I'm leaving right away. I'm headed to Wisconsin, 2,000 miles to go, Madison, Milwaukee, sets my heart aglow. I'm a coming to that state and my heart's beating fast, and I'll jerk my banjo gently, twiddle my mustache on Wisconsin.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at fall and self-care. New Wisco Weekend is written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale, directed and produced by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Brittany Merlot, Savannah Tomei Olson, Isabella Nieto, and Pete Schwaba, plus our commentator, Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email us anytime, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
If it happens in Wisconsin,
local news and timeless hits, WGBW, Denmark Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump departs the White House this morning, bound for Arizona and the public memorial for Charlie Kirk.
Security preps in high gear as nearly 100,000 people are expected to descend on State Farm Stadium for the public memorial service of Charlie Kirk. The 31-year-old rose to fame as a conservative voice and debater. He was fatally shot while at an event earlier this month at Utah Valley University.
It's ABC's Jacqueline Lee in Glendale, Arizona. Multiple sources tell ABC News the Trump Justice Department shut down an investigation involving border czar Tom Homan, where he was recorded accepting cash from FBI agents posing as business executives. There's been no comment to ABC, but the White House and the FBI denied any wrongdoing in statements to MSNBC and the New York Times. Canada, the UK, and Australia have all said they recognize the Palestinian state as part of a coordinated effort to preserve a two-state solution, expected to be a major topic this week at the UN. This is ABC News.